This is Kerrang Radio.
Congratulations on the nomination, first of all. Amazing performance, incredible film. It's been quite a while since you've done a film. Was it quite hard to get back into the swing of things?
It was an interesting challenge. It had been almost 6 years since I made a film, and someone sent me the script and was really persistent about me reading it. I did, and I fell in love. I thought the role was the opportunity of a lifetime. It was transformative. It was really challenging and immersive, and I play Rayon, a transgender woman who's addicted to drugs and alcohol and dying of AIDS. Incredibly unique and really powerful story.
A lot's been said about you having to lose a staggering amount of weight to get into character. In previous film roles, you've had to put on weight as well. Is that kind of thing something that you're ever going to do again, or have you kind of reached a point where it's
No, I don't think I'll ever do that again. You know, I mean, slight adjustments, maybe, but I don't think I would ever do anything that severe again. I've gained weight, 67 pounds. I've lost 40 pounds, and I'd certainly have had that experience. So I probably wouldn't walk down that same path again.
Which do you think is more difficult, losing weight for a part or putting on weight for a part and then having to lose it?
Putting on weight is much harder.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it just a case of eating a lot and not doing any exercise?
You are constantly force-feeding yourself. It's a very difficult thing. It's very damaging on your body, but you gain it and then you have to lose it. When you lose it, gaining it back is a bit more, it's like a sponge, you know, it's a bit more natural of a state where when you go back to your the size that you were at. When you gain weight, you have to work just as hard to lose it as you did to gain it. So it becomes, you know, twice the amount of work, I think.
Now, for the film you recorded? For the film, you recorded an acoustic version of City of Angels for the soundtrack.
Yeah.
What is it about that particular 30 Seconds to Mars track that you felt fitted the film?
Well, normally I would keep film and music very separate. I always have, historically. But I decided to give them the song for the soundtrack because there's a significant amount of proceeds going to charity.
Okay.
And they really wanted me to be a part of it. So I agreed. And I think City of Angels, a song about hope and dreams, was appropriate for this soundtrack. It's an acoustic version that we did.
Talking of 30 Seconds to Mars, so last time, I believe you were over in the UK, you were playing arena, so you played Wembley.
O2 Arena,
Was it the O2 Arena?
Yeah.
And you're still on tour, I believe, around the world. How's that going?
It's great. We just played Mexico 5 nights ago. Mexico City, Guadalajara, Monterrey. We're playing the biggest and some of the best shows we've ever played, both last year and this year. And it's been amazing to jump back and forth between these two worlds.
Why do you think that you're playing the best shows of your career right now?
You know, it's interesting. This new album has given us something special. It's given us a dynamic on stage that we never had before. It's given us... There's something about the new songs that translates in the live space really, really well. You know, I think like A Beautiful Eye, This Is War were both albums that were on 12, bombastic, almost all the time. You know, there were a few moments of calm, of quiet, but the new album just has a space that's really exciting to explore on stage. And we play quite a few new songs now, 8 or 9 of the new songs on stage every night. So that, I think, has made the shows really interesting. I think we've gotten better at what we do. So we're able to put on a show now that's really fun and energetic and interactive. And, you know, something about, I don't know, it's just they've become really, really special.
Did you have that in mind? Did you have the live performance in mind when you were making the record?
Yeah. I did very much so, and I'm glad that I did. It seems to, whatever that was, that focus seems to be working live. And Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams, I think, was a bit of a left turn for us. You know, I think it surprised a lot of people, and I think that's a good thing to do. You know, if you don't move forward, you move backward. And you've got to challenge yourself and challenge your audience and not always do what's expected. And I think Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams is an unexpected album. You know, it's also an exciting time for us because we have a documentary called Artifact, which every music fan, every musician needs to watch. It's a film about our battle with our record company. They sued us for $30 million when we disputed our contract and left. It's a about the age-old battle between art and commerce, about corruption, about this crazy business, and, you know, we've got a great response for it. It's on iTunes now.
On that topic, there was an article that came out in the UK this week that was kind of claiming that rock is dead slash dying because when the current crop of stadium and festival bands die out or retire, there isn't going to be anyone to fill those boots. I don't necessarily agree with that at all, but I was just interested to know what your take on that would be.
Well, I think it's an interesting debate to have. Rock music certainly isn't the beast that it used to be. But, you know, when people say rock, it'd be better if there were more terms to quantify and qualify what they're talking about, because some people may be talking about hard rock. Some people may be talking about alternative rock. You know, Imagine Dragons is a band in the States that's gotten lots of radio play. But a lot of people, some people may think about them as rock. Some people may think about them as pop. So I don't know if people are talking about Iron Maiden, or are they talking about U2? Are they talking about Rolling Stones? Are they talking about, you know, Arctic Monkeys? I don't, you know, it's like there are probably a lot of bands that are selling a lot of tickets around the world still. You know, pop and hip hop seem to be a big part of people's lives. And I think now, because of the iPod generation, people buy songs that they like. They don't necessarily have to buy into albums. And rock bands have been the authors of albums, usually. That's been an album-based format, not a single-based format. But now that people have stopped listening, a lot of people have stopped listening to albums and are just listening to singles, I think that changes things. I think there also technology has a lot to do with it and how we listen to music. You know, when I was a kid, you could turn up a rock song at home or in your car and it sounded great. It was on a cassette or an LP, right? And it sounded great. You could turn it up to 12. But if you turn a rock song up now to 12, it hurts your ears. The digital delivery of cymbals and distortion and guitars is actually disruptive. It's not like it used to be, because the warmth is gone, and it's not as nice and pleasant of an experience as it used to be. And I'm wondering, you know, someone much smarter than me should take a look at that and see if that affects, you know, when people turn things up. You ever try to play a rock song out of your iPhone?
Doesn't
sound that great, you know, but you can play an electronic song and it can communicate. The song is able to connect. So that may have something to do with it. It also may just be style and fashion. And you know what? We'll be sitting here in a year or two and they'll be writing articles about how rock is back. So you never know. But certainly live music is a very important part of people's lives. And, you know, we're very happy. We just played the biggest tour of our lives. And in the UK, it was fantastic.
So you've got 30 Seconds to Mars on the go. You're playing these enormous tours. You've got the Artifact film. You've got the Dallas Buyers Club film. You've been to the Grammys. You've got the Oscars, the Golden Globes. How do you fit all of this in? I mean, there's not enough hours in the day, is there?
You have to have a really good schedule.
Okay.
And you have to be willing to say no to things. And you have to be okay giving up your weekends and your personal time in favor of really wonderful other experiences. And that's okay for now. I mean, it's been an incredible time, unforgettable. I never thought I would ever get an award for anything in my life. More or less all these awards that I've gotten for this film. And Artifact, too. It's been an incredible time. Hard work pays off.
And on that note, Jared, thanks a lot for coming into Kerrang Radio. You're actually number two in this week's Kerrang chart with City of Angels. Can I just ask you to introduce that track for us, please?
Only if it's going to be number one.
Okay.
I mean, how do we get it to number one? That's got to be the crowning achievement. Oscar nomination and number one song.
Okay.
I mean, come
right.
on. How do
all
we?
Right.
Why don't we work this out?
We'll take that. We'll take that. It's number one this week. City of Angels, Jared.
This is Jared from 30 Seconds to Mars, and it is my distinct pleasure to share with you a song off of Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams. This is City of Angels.
There was truth, there was consequence against you.